No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss a very entertaining contest tonight between the Winnipeg Jets and the Vancouver Canucks. It goes down in the record books as a 4-3 shootout victory for the Canucks, but the action was back and forth. The action was fast-paced. It was high-event hockey, and I think everybody at home and in the arena in Vancouver tonight certainly got their money's worth. Gentlemen, I say good evening to you. Very soon I'll be saying good morning to you, as it is right.
Yeah, we only have a couple of minutes left here, Drew, before it's morning.
True, just a couple minutes before we strike the crack of midnight and the show moves from the nighttime to the morning time. Dave, start with you tonight. Just a very entertaining game between the Jets and the Canucks. The Jets fought back from a one goal deficit on three different occasions. They thought briefly they were going to take the lead. It ends up being called back, ruled goaltender interference, but a lot to like, I think, from the game tonight from the Winnipeg Jets' perspective, particularly their stick-to-itiveness and their ability to continue to push through the adversity they faced in getting the game tied up on multiple different occasions.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you're playing a back-to-back, and Vancouver is riding the good feelings of, you know, Bruce Boudreau, and having won two games in a row, they're feeling good about their club. And even though they've dealt with some adversity in terms of injuries, they've persevered, and they have, like I said, two wins. So, you know, they're feeling good about their game, and the Jets are finding themselves down, and that's less than ideal. And, you know, some of those goals, especially the second one, Eric Comrie is probably going to want to have back. I think he made up for it the way he played in overtime. He gave the Jets, you know, a chance to win and be in a position to win the game. But overall, I mean, yeah, I think it's, you know, you've got Kyle Connor continuing to be the MVP of this team. I don't think there's any question about that. Oftentimes, almost every year, it's been Connor Hellebuck. It's a different Connor. He's American. He's from Michigan. But it's the Shelby Township one now, not the other, because he's phenomenal. I mean, he really is. Like, just there's defensive things that you want to recognize in Kyle Connor, oftentimes things that we wouldn't have said with him in terms of a back check, and the things he's doing offensively are just hitting that next level. He is the driver of that top line. There's no question about it. So to me, that was just another example of a guy who's just, he's 18 goals in 27 games for the Winnipeg Jets. He's got 32 points in, you know, 27 games. I mean, he really is hitting another level for a club. He's, you know what it is? He's making the NHL look like he did in the NCAA in his one season there. And he was ridiculous in the NCAA for the University of Michigan. And he's making the NHL look kind of like that. He's third in goals right now. And unlike Dreisaitl, as Dennis said on the broadcast, his goals, I think he's got, what, two goals on the power play? Or three goals on the power play?
Most of it's 5-on-5. You're right.
So, I mean, that, and Dreisaitl has 13 of his 23 goals on the power play. So, I mean, that's a fairly big disparity between the two. And I'm not maligning Leon Dreisaitl. Score a goal, you score a goal. But I think what it just goes to show you how remarkable it is for what Kyle Connor is achieving right now for the Winnipeg Jets.
You know, it started off as a weird night with the Canucks anthem singer for some reason sort of taking a pause in the middle of the anthem to encourage the True North chant. I don't know if it was if she's a Winnipeg plant who was invited to be the Canucks anthem singer by accident tonight.
Maybe she lost a bet to Stacey Natras.
I don't know what that was all about, but it was certainly a weird sort of start to the game. And it's not that it was a weird game. It was just a very high event game. It was a very entertaining game from a fan's perspective, probably not from the coach's perspective. But the truth is, Bruce Boudreau does play an up-tempo style. You know, that's how he coaches. He coaches an up-tempo style. you know, and the Canucks, if they have a strength, it's certainly, well, I mean, Thatcher Demko in goal is a huge strength, but they have some offensive firepower. Their defense is still nothing to write home about. I mean, I would say it's arguably a tire fire for the most part and just lacking in talent. And they were without Oliver Ekman-Larsson tonight, and he's certainly not the player that he once was. But, you know, when you have two teams that are offensively inclined and maybe a little bit have defensive shortcomings, that's what you add those two together, and that's what you end up with, a back and forth high event hockey kind of game. I mean, which game was it? It was a Jets game against the Hurricanes where they had one high danger chance in the entirety of the game. I think each team, I'll have to check in a second, but I think each team had probably closer to 15 or 20 high danger chances in tonight's contest.
Yeah, and Drew, not only was it high event, it was the opposite of yesterday's game, right? Like yesterday's game was a snooze fest, with the exception of, you know, Kyle Connor's goal in the third period, which was an absolute beauty. And I agree with Dave, like, you know, we got to talk a lot about tonight, on tonight's show. We have to talk about Connor Scheifele and Wheeler. Like, Wheeler was a man possessed. He could have had a hat trick in the first period, but just overall, I thought, really
six impressive shots in the first period alone.
And there were 13 shots from Connor and Wheeler through two periods out of 25. So you had, you know, not exactly 50%, but essentially 50% of the shots coming from Connor and Wheeler. And, you know, Scheifele was really good. And, you know, I agree with Dave, like the goal at the beginning of the second period scored by Connor was nice, but the more impressive play to me was, you know, him going from his own zone with speed and absolutely just taking, you know, Tyler Myers for a walk. Like, he was just absolutely, you know, it was a very fast, skilled player in his prime against an older, slower defenseman. And, you know, no offense to Myers, because actually Myers, guys, was amazing in the 3-on-3 overtime, right? Like, he had a good scoring chance. Eric Comrie obviously made the save. He broke up a play on that 2-on-1. So, you know, Myers was playing a lot of minutes tonight, but, you know, you're right, Drew, no Oliver Ekman-Larsson, no Travis Hamonic either. Like, Brad Hunt, I mean, I don't think he played at all in the third period. Luke Shen, like, this Canucks defense, guys, is basically Quinn Hughes and a bunch of horrible defensemen, especially when Oliver Ekman-Larsson is out of the lineup, right? Like, Tucker Poolman, you know, no offense to him, but we know that, you know, he's better suited for a third pairing role. Nothing's changed from last year with the Jets, right? Like, you can see that he gets overwhelmed in a top four role when he has to play elevated minutes, right? So just an overall really impressive performance. You know, Eric Comrie, you know, really nice that, you know, they were able to, the Jets that is, were able to, you know, tie the game up. And, you know, he was good in the overtime, and he was pretty solid in the third period as well. So nice, I thought, you know, because the second goal, guys, was awful. You know, it was just atrocious. Like, you can't, yeah. Hoglander's first goal was just beautiful. Like, that's just that backhand, you know, roof daddy shot. That was a nice goal. The second goal, even I thought, I was telling Dave, it was kind of funny because Dennis said it was in before it actually went in. But, you know, that was just one of those goals. Like, it was, there's no excuses for that one. And obviously Comrie would tell you that, like, but he responded. I thought he was really good through the rest of the game. I don't forget exactly how many shots saves he ended up with, around 26 or 27. Maybe you have it there, Drew. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, you get 3 of 4 points here, guys. You easily could have got 4 points. I mean, the shootout, we know, is a flip a coin situation. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, overall, you have to be almost just as impressed with the way the Jets played and the way they battled back. Because Drew mentioned, you know, you come back from 3-1 goal deficits. It looks like you're going to take the 4-3 lead. And even though that was obvious goalie interference, guys, I mean, like, Thatcher Demko had absolutely no chance of saving that cop shot. Like, I mean, he was just, there was no possible way he could have got over in time. He was going the other way, but it was goalie interference. And, you know, that's how it works. And the Jets weren't able to take that lead, unfortunately. But for a second there, it looked like they were going to, you know, run out of that second period with the one goal lead.
Well, it was goaltender interference. And I mean, I understand people saying, oh, it wasn't. I mean, they're wearing your fan blinders. I think what the people are truly upset about is the lack of any consistency. Because
the Aho one was more egregious.
Well, and it's the same official. The same official who declared that the Aho goal should count declared that this goal should not count. And it's almost like they forget what they've done from one game to the other.
I think it was almost an FU to Connor Hellebuck's comments.
Well, I mean, I don't think that the I'm not willing to go down that road of the conspiracy
hashtag tinfoil hats.
Yeah, I was going to say the voices in your head there, Mr. Manuka. I appreciate it. But it was goaltender interference. It's just that, you know, how one can be goaltender interference when it's fairly clear and the other one can't be is what gets everybody so upset. And we saw Paul Maurice with the triple F bomb. And it's always entertaining when he drops those because he doesn't make any effort to hide them whatsoever. So
anyone get a flashback to 2018? Like Maurice versus Boudreau, first round Jets versus Wild with all the goals and Boudreau getting frustrated and Maurice dropping the F-bombs because and then you throw in the way Connor Scheifele and Wheeler were playing. Like that was vintage 2018, guys. Like again, you know, I know Wheeler has struggled and you know he has had a lot of criticism from you know the media and fans and everything like that, but like he was on fire tonight, guys. Like he put his big boy pants on. Just like, you know, Sam and Ruben do when we tell them to, right, Drew? But, I mean, like, look, at he was really good tonight. And Dave's right. Like, Kyle Connor is the team MVP. Like, I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois, I think, deserves some, you know, talk. I think he was really good tonight, you know, as well. Obviously, Connor, Scheifele, Wheeler were the ones that were doing all the damage on the score sheet. But, man, like, those guys in the second game of a back-to-back, when we know that you don't have as much gas in the tank,
yeah,
you know, you can criticize them when they don't play well, but when they do play well, you have to give them credit. And then the same thing goes for Scheifele. Like Scheifele was really good tonight. That line, and you saw that in the second period, right, guys? Like at one point, it looked like they were out there every second shift. I think they were actually. It was basically like rotating that line and the Lowry line.
Well, Svechnikov didn't play after the 7:24 mark. You know, his last shift, I tweeted it out, I believe, was with 7:23 left in the second period, and he didn't play another shift the entire game. So Svechnikov, I don't know if it's an injury-related issue, because there was, you know, Heinola did take the skate this morning. Pardon me, this the pregame skate. I know, and most people thought it was for Dubois, so I'm not saying that it's likely not an injury issue with Svechnikov. I'd be surprised if it was, but the Jets really played... after Wheeler went down, the Jets played with 10 forwards on the second half of a back-to-back because for whatever reason, Svechnikov is in the doghouse of Paul Maurice, or you know, Maurice didn't feel comfortable in tapping him on the shoulder really after. Now he played 3 minutes and 59 seconds the whole game. He played seven shifts. He didn't play.
Well, I thought that might have had something to do with the goal that was scored, the third goal that was scored by Connor Garland. I wasn't sure if Svechnikov, because there was a line change there, and obviously Nate Beaulieu looked a little slow there as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to put it all on Beaulieu, but I thought, Drew, that might have been it. But you're right. It could have also been injury related, but I was trying to figure out what happened in the game that would make Svechnikov, you know, be stapled to the bench. But I don't have an answer yet.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you either, as I'm looking at the players who are on the ice for the Jets, and it looks like it was DeMello and Beaulieu, and it was Kopp, Ehlers, and Dubois. So that's not to say that there wasn't maybe a line change happening or a slower line change or something to that effect. I don't know the answer to that, but it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, comes of the absence of Svechnikov for the last, you know, basically for the last, you know, half of the game. And then, of course, the big concern after he had probably his best game of the year is the Blake Wheeler injury. I mean, that did not look good. And Blake Wheeler and the words injury do not go hand in hand. This is a guy who, you know, for better or worse, even playing through cracked ribs, even playing through other ailments, Dave, this is a guy that, you know, Paul Maurice has just been able to mark down in the lineup for really the last, you know, decade or so in the city. And the way he was writhing in pain on the ice, the way he didn't put any weight on his leg in getting off the ice, and the way he went down the tunnel all hunched over, Jets are the organization certainly are going to be holding their breath to get until they get a diagnosis about the Winnipeg Jets captain. Dave, you're on mute, my friend. It's only been, you know, game whatever. It's only game 27 of the season.
Something. Heaven forbid I try and do some work while, you know, you guys are blathering. But anyways, what I was going to say is I'm not going to pretend like I have any great insight into what, you know, it could be. I think, you know, I'm reading the quotes now. You know,
here's Andrew Paul Maurice.
Okay. Paul Maurice says, okay, go ahead.
Paul Maurice says, Blake Wheeler, quote, is going to be out a while.
Ooh.
So
it's never good when the coach says that, because he could have easily said something along the lines, Drew, of, you know, he's going to be evaluated tomorrow or something like that. Whenever he says, you know, the coach and Maurice, obviously in this situation, but whenever a coach says that, you know, it's going to be, I don't know, minimum of weeks. Like, we're not talking days. It's going to be weeks, months.
That's well, let me tell you, guys.
That's LTIR.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to back up. Right now, I'm just backing up the Gus bus because David Gustafson, who actually got the game-winning goal tonight for the Moose in their comeback win over the Griffins. Not going to get into the Moose minute just yet, but he'll be, my guess, would be the first guy called up to play for the Winnipeg Jets. Now that, you know, if based on what Paul Maurice is saying, obviously they're going to need a forward. You know, they don't have
especially with Riley Nash being claimed by the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? Like, the Lightning kind of quietly kind of snuck in their guys and plucked Riley Nash. Like, I thought that was a pretty smart move by Julien Brisebois. You can say whatever you want about Nash.
Ezzy, did you watch Riley Nash play? Did you watch Riley Nash play this year?
Well, no, I'm just saying, Drew, like, to have a veteran like that as your, whatever you want to call it, 13th forward, or a guy that you can put into your lineup, because injuries happen. The Jets happen to be healthy right now. All I'm saying is, I mean, that's a guy that you would rather have than not have. That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to disagree with you on that premise. He brought nothing to the table as far as I could see in his action this year. So I'd much rather at this point.
So why did the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions acquire him then?
You know what? That's a fair point. And, you know, for the Tampa Bay Lightning to do so, that you sort of give them the benefit of the doubt. And I understand why you're doing that. But Riley Nash, in what he brought when he was on the ice for the Jets, looked like a guy who didn't have anything left to contribute to an NHL team. Prove me wrong, Riley Nash, and I don't have a problem with it. But I certainly would much rather see, you know, you never want to see an injury. You know, especially for a player like Blake Wheeler, despite the slings and arrows that he does get from fans, you know, you definitely don't want to see that happen. But I think that if this allows David Gustafson to get an extended time with the Jets now, Dave, then that's going to be certainly, you know, that was what the catalyst was going to be for him to crack the lineup.
I said all along when people were talking about recalls, I said, you're only going to see David Gustafson if you have an injury with the Jets. And the Jets have been, you know, up until game 27, remarkably healthy and obviously cap limited as well. So that obviously had a factor in any recalls. So I'm not terribly surprised that it's taken until this long for Dave Gustafson. But you know what can happen? You're going to get now. Look, Blake Wheeler, as he was talking about, or as he and I were talking about, you know, during the third period, he's heated up obviously over the last little bit, and he's you know, contributing, you know, rather significantly over the last few weeks. But at the same time, you know, you've been able to, you know, they had that stretch when he was on COVID in Minnesota that the Jets were performing and being successful without him. So the Jets can win without Blake Wheeler. They've shown that. Mm-hmm. And so you're coming back home. You've got 3 out of 4 points. You can get David Gustafson in. Your PK immediately improves. I don't care what they say, because
it's a juggernaut PK. It's 7 for their last 7. What do you want from him?
I was going to say, like, I agree, obviously Dave, you know, Dave is right there. I mean, cause Gustafson is such a good penalty killer, but I mean, you know, Drew's kind of half joking there, but it did look good again tonight. Like the penalty kill, we talked about that, right? Like you know, we talked about, you know, who was out there when Ehlers took the penalty, right? I don't know if it was called slew footing or tripping. It was Logan Stanley, Dylan DeMello, and Adam Lowry, if I'm not mistaken. And they
in overtime.
Exactly. And then they held, if I'm not mistaken, they held them to, the Canucks only had one shot. And it was a point shot. It might've been Quinn Hughes. I forget, you know, it's late. So forgive me, guys, but I mean, the point is, you know, the penalty kill has looked much better. But you're right, Dave. Sorry to cut you off, but Gustafson, it's only going to get better with him in the lineup.
Yeah, and the reality is, you know, Vancouver has the 17th best power play in the NHL. So I mean, it's not a bad power play by any stretch of the imagination. But I just think, like, David Gustafson is going to come in and he's going to bring a hardworking element. Like I said, he's not going to come in there and score, you know, 15 goals over the next 15 games and dominate the NHL. And you're going to be like, why was he in the AHL? But he is going to provide you with a solid, dependable player that, you know, you can rely upon and do more than one thing. He'll be able to kill penalties. He'll be able to, play five on five, and you're not going to lose sleep over what he does because he's essentially an Andrew Copp. He really is. Like, I mean, I'm not saying he's as good as Andrew Copp is, but I mean, Andrew Copp has a few years on him, of course. And I think, but he, like, if the Jets can't replace Andrew Copp, David Gustafson is essentially Andrew Copp light right now. And I think eventually, you know, especially if Adam Lowry wasn't going to be, obviously they signed Lowry to the 5-year deal, but had they not signed him, I think they figured they had David Gustafson waiting in the wings anyways. So look, I think David Gustafson can provide you with some offense. I think he's got, I mean, we saw it with a shot tonight, right? He's smart. We saw it with his goal. Was it in Laval where, yeah, he scored in Laval on Wednesday from probably like the top of the circle. Now it was a 6-on-5, but he's just, you know, he had the puck on and off his stick. So he's finding different places to score. And if you look on, if you want to LegalCurve.com, on the Moose recap, you can watch the goal that he scored tonight at the side of the net. And it was just, look, it was fortuitous bounce. I mean, the puck bounced off of, I think, Evan Poli's foot back to David Gustafson. But I'm just saying he's able to score in different ways than he was traditionally before. I just think he's become that developed player who's ready to graduate to that next level and play in the NHL. And I, again, like I said, from a cap perspective, you didn't have room for him. But I think now with what sounds like a significant injury to Blake Wheeler, you're not going to have a choice but to give David Gustafson that time and that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, if it is as serious as Paul Maurice made it sound, I would expect the Jets would put Wheeler on LTIR. I believe you have to be out a minimum of 10 games or 24 days, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's the rule in order to get the cap relief from LTIR. So I would expect the Jets to do something along those lines.
Can we talk about how crappy the timing is, though, when that was arguably Wheeler's best game of the year?
It's really unfortunate. Like, I mean, he gets the monkey off the back. He scores, the power play goal, which arguably was probably the least dangerous of his chances tonight. It's a great screen from Pierre-Luc Dubois. Demko can't see the puck, doesn't move on.
100%. That was a great screen. I don't think he saw it either, Drew.
No, and Wheeler's able to pick the corner, so good for him both. You know, that's how a power play is supposed to work, you know, with a quality screen and then a decent shot. But he had so many additional chances beyond that. There was,
well, I mean, the pass to Connor on his goal was just, I mean, that's just elite. It's elite.
The pass to Connor, the pass from Connor to Wheeler, where Demko stretched out, went post to post, and went full butterfly and made the glove save on Wheeler there. That was another tremendous play. Look, they're only the Vancouver Canucks are Thatcher Demko. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. They have some nice talent up front, but their defense is so horrible that if Thatcher Demko is anything other than excellent, they lose. You know, if Thatcher Demko is only average tonight, the Jets win this game. Not to say that the Jets got goalied, because they still got 3 goals past them, but Thatcher Demko was a huge difference maker in tonight's contest.
4, actually, technically, right?
4, yes, before it was called back. And actually, Paul Maurice spoke about the disallowed goal. This is courtesy Murat, who's in Vancouver, says Paul Maurice says he doesn't like either the goalie interference non-call against Carolina or the call against Vancouver tonight. He just doesn't know basically what the rule is. He needs there to be some consistency, and I certainly don't disagree with him there. I think everybody in the NHL, top to bottom, would like to see more consistency when it comes to the officiating. That's just really, I think, beating a dead horse at this point in time when it comes to arguments that you've heard. There is no consistency. You don't know what it is from one game to another, from one ref to another. Tonight, another example of that. But you're right, Ezzy. It is really unfortunate for Blake Wheeler because he was starting to, he played his best game probably of the year. You know,
I think at the very least, I mean, it's a top two game of the year, right?
Yeah. And in the last five games, he's been getting into his groove.
Absolutely. And, you know, not only does he get the first goal, but like he was pushing, you know, he was putting that team on his back. Like, and you could see, you know, as the third period progressed, you know, the Jets were getting a little bit tired, but not in overtime, right? Like the Jets were, you know, controlled the play for a majority of overtime. The Canucks had some chances going back the other way, but it's just really unfortunate. Like hockey sometimes is a very weird game. You know, you mentioned earlier, Drew, like Wheeler is in that Ovechkin category. He just, you know, 1,000 games, but like you know, he's 35. Like a lot of guys don't hit the 1,000 games until 37, 38, 39. Like he just isn't a guy that misses a lot of hockey. And as you mentioned, he plays through injuries. This is not one he's going to be able to play through, because when you see a guy hobble off the ice like that, and again, we don't know what it is. Drew's not a doctor, but he'll take a look. It could have been ankle. Who knows? It's just, it's not like, good. And, I mean, and he's going to be out for a while.
But if Paul Maurice, Dave, if Paul Maurice says he's going to be out for a while, then you can pretty much take it to the bank. He's not going to be flippant with his remarks when it comes to an injury like that. To your point, he very easily could have dodged the question today and said, we have to get him back to Winnipeg to get him examined, and then addressed it on Monday when the team, they're off tomorrow. And are they off Sunday
they're
as well?
They're traveling tomorrow.
I hope they're off tomorrow.
They're traveling tomorrow. They're off on Sunday. And
there you go. So they won't hit the ice again till Monday. He could have dodged it until Monday, but I mean,
I'm expecting an Undertaker style, like, you know, just jump up from the Blake Wheeler will be like, they'll be in the casket, and then all of a sudden it'll be like Blake Wheeler will just be there, and they'll be like looking at you.
You look at the games, you look at the numbers since, you know, going back to his first year in Winnipeg, 80 games. Then you go to the lockout shortened year, 48 games.
Yeah, we know
games,
he's consistent.
79 games. Sure. I mean, he's consistently in the lineup, whatever you think of him. And now the Jets, we talk about likelihood of David Gustafson coming up. Well, David Gustafson is not going to be a replacement for Blake Wheeler. That's not the role he's going to play. Now the Jets do have enough, high quality players, and they have enough firepower that they should be able to replicate Blake Wheeler, and they still have a decent enough top six that it shouldn't be catastrophic. I mean,
Stastny's the obvious guy that moves into the top six guys. I mean, he's the obvious one who's done it all year, right? So I agree with you. It's not like you're elevating someone into a top six role that isn't going to be able to handle it. Like, I think even if you put a Jansen Harkins in a top six role, he'd be able to handle it. And I think he played really well. And that's what was kind of baffling, Drew. I agree with you. I mean, we talked about what you were tweeting from the IC account. I mean, in a second game of a back-to-back, even if Svechnikov isn't playing that well, Dom Toninato was playing well. I thought, you know, he was providing a little energy. He was, you know, they had the puck in the Canuck zone. I mean, obviously he scored the goal yesterday, right? And so, David Gustafson's not going to replace Wheeler, but the obvious guy that would move up in the lineup is Stastny. I think everybody can probably put that together, right?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, we saw Stastny move up when the injury happened, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a retooling, of course, of the Jets, top six and bottom six as a result of this injury. And to your point about Toninato, as he had two shifts in the third period, and he didn't actually play on the penalty kill tonight. He only had 19 seconds of penalty killing time, which, although, you know, when you saw the Jets penalty kill tonight in its successful nature, Dave, you saw guys get on the ice 30 seconds, clear the puck, and off the ice. There were no long shifts on the penalty kill. I think that's a byproduct of it being more aggressive. When you're more aggressive on the penalty kill, you go harder for shorter bursts of time, as you've well documented, very familiar with that approach that the Manitoba Moose have taken when it comes to the penalty kill. And, you know, the penalty kill did well tonight. The power play got a goal, obviously, the Wheeler goal. You know, look, this was an entertaining hockey game. It's, you know, it was a very entertaining game that had chances at both ends. The overtime was just hair on fire. And I'm not talking about the fire over top of Dave M's head there, but it was just one of those games where you sort of felt, though, that once it got to the shootout, you know, Thatcher Demko versus Eric Comrie in a shootout, not directly against each other, of course, is just a bit of a one-sided advantage for the Canucks. And Elias Pettersson, with the Zhamnov on Eric Comrie, and that was just unfair.
Yeah, well, thoughts on the shootout, but yeah, you're right. I mean, Demko, you know, he's a better goaltender than Comrie. I mean, Comrie, I thought, though, again, you know, the second goal by Hoglander was a weak one. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I did think that he responded really well and made some key saves down the stretch of that game. Like, you go back to the third period, that save that he made on Brock Besser, kind of a stretch pass, and, you know, made some saves in overtime on Tyler Myers was one of them on an odd man rush, right? The shootout, I told Dave, like, if this game goes to a shootout, I don't even really want to watch it. We did watch it, but I just can't stand it. Sorry. it's been around for 20 years now, but I still just don't care for it. But you're right, Drew. I mean, the overtime was really back and forth and really entertaining, and as was the whole game. You're right. And, you know, this Vancouver team, you know that they're going to get the Bruce Boudreau, Jim Rutherford bump, whatever you want to call it. I think it's more of a Bruce Boudreau bump. But I think also it's kind of like a new lease on life type of situation, right? Because this Canucks team is obviously not going to make the playoffs unless they win 15 games in a row. But you could see that they've got a little bit more jump in their step. I thought Quinn Hughes struggled a little bit, tonight. Obviously, you know, just an excellent skater. But he was having a little bit of difficulty with the speed of the Scheifele-Connor-Wheeler line. And overall, we talked about it. I mean, this group, it was almost like the game plan tonight for the Jets was just keep attacking with speed. Like, it was like up the middle with speed. You know, you can, you know, burst down the wing. Like, it's just a slow Canucks defense. And as you talked about, the Jets could easily had 5 or 6 goals tonight. You go back and, you know, that miraculous save that Demko made on Wheeler. So, you know, a much-deserved first point. But obviously you'd like to get the 2 points, but the good thing is now you get a few days off, as we talked about, and then you've got the Sabres coming up. So it's not like you have to, you know, prepare to face one of the best teams in the NHL. So,
I mean, the Jets have had troubles with those teams, Dave, but Nikolaj Ehlers in overtime with a great chance, Pierre-Luc Dubois with 2 great chances in overtime. Mm-hmm. It was just back and forth, up and down. And I mean, I think, you know, we all agree that the Eric Comrie goal, or the second goal for the Canucks, was a terrible goal given up by Eric Comrie, but he settled in. And I was sort of curious to see where it was going to go at that point in time. You know, he's given up 2 goals. The Jets had just come back to tie the game. He gives it up. He gives up another one, you know, pretty quickly that he doesn't like to give up. And then at that point in time, he did basically settle in. Which I thought was a little reassuring for a Jets team that's certainly going to need him, not next week, but the week after when they have a back-to-back with Nashville and Dallas.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, it is definitely not a good goal, that second goal. I mean, you could see it on his face. I mean, he just, his helmet to the ice afterwards, just knowing that, like, it was just a brutal situation because it's one he should have had. He saw it from far. It was from distance. There was no screen. And so he, you know, I mean, it's one he should have made. But to your point, Drew, he managed to play a good overtime, kept the Jets in it, even with a 4-on-3, and put them in a position to at least, they could have had a chance to have 2 points, had some opportunities. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, not ideal, but I don't think anybody's going to lose their mind because, again, I can't remember what his record is off the top of my head, but I think, you know, you need your backup goaltender to produce points for you. So if you got one, it's better than none. Not ideal, obviously, but it's something. And I mean, look, you're going home with 3 out of 4. You're going to get some rest. I find it unusual that Paul Maurice is being so forthright. So either he's just getting out in front of it for whatever reason, or maybe he's trying to, you know, who knows what he's trying to do. I have no idea, but I just, whenever a coach is very honest with injury news, I find it almost shocking. So it's such an unusual occurrence. But anyways, it sounds like, I mean, Andrew Kopp, what I was going to say before you got the news about, no, it's all good. But before you got the news about Maurice, because that's actually like informative as opposed to what the players are saying, which is more speculative and hope. But they just said that, you know, Wheeler was in good spirits and that, you know, he was in the room and that sort of thing. So, I mean, look, you're going to have him examined tomorrow, and we probably, unless someone breaks the news on Sunday, won't have an update until Monday. We'll see if the Jets let, you know, the Moose have another game tomorrow night against Grand Rapids. It's a short 2-game homestand. Then they're actually heading out on the road. So we'll see if they're heading out on the road with 1 or 2 less players. Maybe they get Ville Heinola back. Of course, you know, if Blake Wheeler has to go on IR, the Jets will have a lot of salary cap available to them, so the salary cap will become much less of an issue for the Winnipeg Jets all of a sudden. That of all the things that they have to worry about, the salary cap will no longer, Larry Simmons, the assistant GM, will no longer have to tear out his hair trying to figure out ways to shave it down. So that
I think he's just actually mining for Bitcoin right now.
Oh, is he? Okay, makes sense.
I don't even know how you mine for Bitcoin, and I don't want to find out. That's my goal in life, is to never find that out. In any event, let's go to break. When we come back, more on tonight's game, a little bit more. We have the Illegal Curve Hockey Show up in 8.5 hours. So
Drew, make sure people smash that like button.
That's what I was going to say. You're here. It's late. It's 12:30 in the morning.
Is Phyllis here?
She was here earlier. Okay. I don't know if she's still here.
Hit that like button. Phyllis doesn't like it when you don't hit that like button.
Exactly. Smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel, tell your friends and family to subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, everything like that. We'll be back with more of the Illegal Curve post-game show in mere minutes.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Whether it's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two, this holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Shortly after the bottom of the hour, good morning, good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you, talking about the Jets' 4-3 defeat at the hands of the Vancouver Canucks. It came in a shootout. The Jets were down 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, and fought back to tie the game on three different occasions before losing in a shootout following an absolutely hectic back-and-forth entertaining overtime period. The big news of the day, besides, of course, the result of the game, is the news that Blake Wheeler is, according to Jets head coach Paul Maurice, going to be out of the lineup for a while, sustaining what certainly looked like a knee injury on a bit of a scramble in front of the Jets' goal mouth. Wheeler did
it looked like originally it was a block shot. I don't know if you thought that too, Drew, but that's what I thought it originally was.
Yeah, at first I thought it might have been he took a shot and he was maybe took it on the side of the knee where there's no padding or something like that.
The back of the leg or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but then when you saw him holding the knee itself and
you saw the way it folded. It wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. and you know, not putting any weight on it, and he got off the ice on his own, but you know, basically using, you know, one foot and one leg to propel himself off. You sort of had an idea that it probably wasn't something that was going to be a positive story for the Jets, and it sounds like it isn't going to be. We're not going to speculate how long he's going to be out of the lineup for, aside from the fact that Paul Maurice says to expect him out of the lineup for a decent period of time. Prior to the Jets, of course, next in action on Tuesday against the Buffalo Sabres. Some people were asking what's on the agenda for tomorrow morning, or actually this morning, 8.5 hours from now, with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show back here on our YouTube channel. It's going to be, we're going to be joined by Jeff Hamilton, talk about the Winnipeg Jets. The Hammer, Jeff Hamilton, is actually in the Hammer, Hamilton, Ontario, for the Grey Cup. So he's going to join us, talk a little bit about the Jets. Maybe we'll throw in some Bomber stuff there.
And he's also going to be wearing Arm & Hammer.
Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you. That's good to know. I appreciate that, Ezzy. Thank you, The Bullet, who's saying that Sportsnet's video shows him putting weight on it and fully extending it as he walked down the tunnel.
I actually thought I saw that too. When the trainers went to put their arms on either side, I actually thought he was fine. Not that fine, but I thought he actually tried to do it. It appeared, and they cut the commercial, but it did appear that they went to that he was walking under his own power. So
yeah, that could mean it's completely torn.
I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to speculate either,
but sometimes there's no pain if it's completely torn. Ask Ezzy. He's still recovering from his torn ACL that he did not rehab about.
That's because 15, he didn't do the proper rehab ago. Moments, yeah. For God's sakes.
Yeah. No rehab.
A long time ago.
I know. Still haven't done that rehab.
It's more the back now that I have to worry about.
You know, do you ever think there's maybe a connection, or, you know, just throwing that
the
out
leg
there.
Leg bone is connected to the
backbone, you know, connected to the belly bone, something like that. But in any event,
he's fine. It's a common thing. But yeah, I'm doing okay right now. I don't have to take any what is it called, hydromorphine or whatever I had to take that one time when Naomi had to drive me to the hospital in the back seat. That was pretty bad. But you should do your physiotherapy.
There you go.
Just leave it at that.
What Ginsburg with some advice. You got a Tough Duck contest winner there, Mr. Ezzy?
I'm still looking for them, but give me a few minutes here and I'll find one.
Okay, it's like 12:37, so hurry the F up.
You know what that means?
You can save it for tomorrow, Dave. An extended Moose recap tomorrow.
No, I don't think so. I think the people want it. I mean, Drew, it happened. Drew,
what else do you have to do right now?
I want to go to bed.
I want to go to bed.
You know what? Ezzy and I can keep doing the show. We got over 200 people in the chat right now. We'll just keep rolling. Okay. I mean, he's here right now. Two more hours.
Do your Moose
Minute. He will want a Moose Minute. Actually, he called for a 5-minute Moose Minute. But anyways, the point is, it's time for the Manuk Moose Minute.
Did you just intro yourself?
I did.
I think you can't intro yourself.
That's the perfect opportunity for music right there, Dave. We need to get on that.
Fix my hate my toque. It's all here. I'll fix it like that. There we go. Anyways, the Moose were they came home. They're only home for two games playing Grand Rapids Griffins, and it was probably one of the worst first periods I've ever watched. Shots were 6-5. It was boring. Calvin Pickard is the Grand Rapids goaltender, the Winnipegger. He's played very well against Manitoba this season, actually in his career, but he's been very good against them. Arvid Holm got the call. He was 2-0 going into the action against Grand Rapids today. And it was just a boring, boring first period. And then the second period was crazy. Like, Moose came out. They started to turn things around. They outshot them 20-6 in that second period, and yet we're down 2-0. A couple of nice goals. They were opportunistic. Grand Rapids has some call-ups from the ECHL right now. So they've got some guys up with Detroit, which means that some guys from the ECHL came up to play for them. So the Moose found themselves down 2-0 after 40 minutes, even though they were heavily outshooting Grand Rapids. And then the dam finally broke. They outshot Grand Rapids, I think 8-1 to start the third. Cole Meyer, the alternate captain. Jimmy Olin, he wasn't playing tonight. So Cole Meyer got things started. Then Mikey Essiemont tied the game. Then the aforementioned David Gustafson got what would turn out to be the game winner with 3:27 left in the third period. And then Christian Reichel finished it off with a nice empty net goal to make it a 4-2. So cue the comeback for the Manitoba Moose, as they are now 14-7-1, sitting second in the Central rather comfortably. And if you're asking about Ville Heinola, assistant coach Eric Dubois was who we spoke with after the game. He had a very interesting number of comments about the play of Villanueva, specifically how he played in the game against Belleville, calling it his best game of the season, and talking about, even though for an offensive guy who gets a lot of points, how you can, you know, show him that a game where he had 0 points was actually his best game of the season. Really interesting stuff from Eric Dubois. So we have that on the website, illegalcurve.com. You can go read that. Cue the Comeback is the headline on that story. And that is your condensed Moose Minute, because it's 1240.
There you go. You can do an more extended one tomorrow or later this morning when the Illegal Curve Hockey Show comes back at you, 9 a.m. back here on our YouTube channel. Jeff Hamilton, Marty B. Ron, our guests on this morning's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Ezzy, Tough Duck, Tuke winner, hardest hitting comment, give her.
Yeah, we're going to actually do it tomorrow. I'm gonna keep looking through the comments here, Drew. Well, no, it's, I mean, because we have to go through, you know.
Well, there you go. We'll give it away tomorrow morning. Yeah. Or that we'll give it away later this morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So we'll do a special Saturday morning edition of the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment later on in about 8 hours and 20 minutes time. We encourage you to join us back here on our YouTube channel. We're going to talk about tonight or last night's Jets Canucks game. We'll talk about the week that was for the Winnipeg Jets. We'll preview the upcoming week Tuesday against the Buffalo Sabres, one of those should wins for the Jets. But who knows? We know how they've been doing with those should wins so far this season. Want to give a big shout out to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and of course, our friends at Grid Park are the newest sponsor of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Support these fine businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. I'm reliably informed that Kenny and Rennie, in the form of Ken Weeb and Kevin O, are already live on the Kenny and Rennie YouTube page. So if you're like to burn the 1 a.m. oil, as the case may be, you can check them out on their YouTube channel. We'll be back later this morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So we'll see many of you back here this morning. And as I mentioned, tell your friends, tell your family if they're craving some great post-game and Saturday morning hockey talk. That's what we bring you here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until 8 hours and 20 minutes from now, 9 a.m. and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, we wish you good morning and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.